Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Chris Fanini, TheAthletic.com, joins us, 365 Sports. Tim Brando later on today at around 5. And Chris joins us on a day that's, well, every day, Chris, when it comes to college athletics. Let's start with, I saw your tweet later on or earlier this afternoon on kind of looking deep into Tom Izzo's quotes, because sometimes things can be misquoted or parts of a quote. In the end, what do you think Tom Izzo was actually trying to say? And by the way, thank you very much for your time.
I think he was saying a lot of different things all at once. I went to Michigan State. I covered Tom Izzo for a number of years. Sometimes he just kind of says things that are not totally connected. And there were a couple of follow-up questions. But his line that got a lot of attention was him saying, I forgot exactly what it was, but basically, like, I know everybody likes upsets early on, but I'm not sure what's best moving forward. But that came one line after he said he was he'd love to expand the tournament for smaller schools to get in. He's also upset. He's always hated conference tournaments, and he doesn't like that number one seeds in certain conferences maybe don't win their conference tournament, miss out, and there's a bid thief and all that kind of stuff. I think that's kind of more of the stuff he was talking about. I don't think he was trying to say we should expand the tournament and let more Power 5 teams in, or we need to get rid of the small school AQs. He went to a Division II school, Northwest, Northern Michigan. He's always been about those schools. So I think one line kind of blew up when in the greater context, it wasn't that big of a thing.
Yeah, Chris, I think he, you know, the more, you know, especially after hearing you, and I went off on him earlier without knowing that a little bit, because the morning after Virginia scores 14 points, and then with Greg Sankey kind of saying he wants to, well, saying he wants to expand the tournament, but for the opposite reason. You know, Tom Izzo wants to expand it so Indiana State gets in. Greg Sankey wants to expand it so that Indiana State and more of those teams get left out. So it's two different sides of the same thing with them. It probably is a very confusing time for everybody.
Yeah, and I mean, it is, though, even joked at the beginning. He was watching the selection show hoping they'd expand it to 100 because his team was on the bubble and they didn't know they were in until the very last bracket, so they were cutting it close. But, you know, it's as though he's an older Italian guy, and I'm Italian, and this is kind of what you do. I mean, he complained about analytics. He's always been upset about analytics. He's always been upset about Twitter. Analytics are the reason Michigan State got in the tournament this year. Their resume is not great, but their net rating is really high. Their KenPom rating is really high. So I don't know if Izzo thinks or knows that the analytics helped his team in that instance. But he is often, he can be, you know, old guy yelling at clouds sometimes from now and then. I don't think anyone should take one line from him to be a greater deal. I think the things that Greg Sankey has said had a lot more thought and purpose behind them than maybe what a coach said at a press conference.
Chris, what did you make of the announcements that have been trickling out as far as the college football playoff, the expansion, the money part of this, the distribution? I mean, it's a lot to digest, and obviously there are still some loose ends to tie up, but we're heading down the train tracks here, and how do you feel about it?
I think what was the most notable to me, and it wasn't really new news, but the fact that ESPN is going to have the entire bracket. I mean, technically ESPN can sub-license some games to other networks, but the fact that Fox didn't come in with some big offer to get in was surprising, because Fox had made some moves that seemed to show that it was open to covering more of college football than just the teams that it had games for. The Big Ten championship game two seasons ago, they let Nick Saban on at their halftime show to campaign for Alabama to get in the playoff on Fox, which has no connections to the SEC. So the fact that it's only ESPN, I think, puts a lot more power on ESPN, because if you know, Kevin Warren, when he was the Big Ten commissioner, some other people felt like you want to get multiple networks involved so they're competing with each other, so you as an entity have more power. But if it's just you and ESPN, that gives ESPN a heck of a lot of power in that. And so it ended up being about $1.3 billion per year. It's quite a bit less than what people thought a couple of years ago. That's part of where the TV market is now. So it, in general, it's less money in one network, different than what we thought a couple of years ago. As it relates to the conference payouts, ultimately not surprising, even if I don't think it's good. The Big Ten, the SEC getting 29% each, ACC 17, Big 12 15, I think, and then Group of Five in Notre Dame. Ultimately, not surprising, 14 teams, who knows when. They may go through this whole next season before determining what to do. They don't need to rush it because ESPN's not paying them any more if there's any more games. So they would basically just take two more games. Those would be campus games. You don't need to book a, you don't need to book a stadium far out. So they have time on this, but ultimately, the Big Ten and SEC are going to have a lot of control over if it expands.
I don't think this is exactly the way I'm going to, what I mean, but they're already getting those two conferences. We understand they're bigger, better, faster, and stronger, with very few exceptions. They're already getting massively more money from their conference TV deals, and now they're getting a lot more money for the college football playoff deals. It just separates them even more. When does that become a problem? And if they're as good as they are, or say they are, why do they want to keep separating from everybody else?
Well, that's why I was kind of, I don't know, annoyed or frustrated or disappointed with the way it went out. You know, with the NCAA tournament, the farther you go, the more money you get. Like, it's pretty simple. Like the fact that they didn't put in a performance-based, you know, way of doing it, I think it's a real detriment, but it just goes to show how much leverage the Big Ten and the SEC have. They've made their own advisory group. They're very much floating the possibility of doing something else on their own, because nobody knows what college sports is going to be in 3 years. But I think it's also a reminder that we can stop pretending that any of the commissioners have the greater good of college football in mind. They're looking out for themselves because that's what they're paid to do. The SEC, Greg Sankey, is not paid to look out for the best interests of the Big 12. And now we can stop pretending that any of these commissioners think that after a couple of years of playoff debate and trying to figure out what's best for college football, finally getting to the 12-team playoff and whatnot, only for them to all tear each other apart in realignment, change the revenue for 2026 and beyond, and all favor themselves. And I think it's just really bad for college football that there isn't more of a united front on things, and that the richest only want to get even richer.
Chris, I brought this up on our show yesterday in the Clemson lawsuit situation that Andy Staples wrote a great article on on3.com about it today. The ACC essentially on paper capitulated to the Big Ten and SEC. And when they did that, they essentially gave Clemson all the PR they needed to jump over whatever fence they had to convince people that they needed to join Florida State on their way out the door. With this discrepancy, why would anyone stay with the ACC given the fact that their negotiating window doesn't come up until the next decade?
Well, the reason you stay is because legally you have to, at least at this point. You know, that's the thing. That's what the ACC is banking on, is that their agreements are ironclad. I've talked to some lawyers about it, and they still think that the Clemson-Florida State case is pretty flimsy. That's not to say it won't work. That's not to say there won't be a settlement. But the ACC is not going to be incentivized to settle, because any way of Florida State and Clemson getting out could result in the unraveling of the conference. So nobody's quite sure how this is going to go. But if you're Florida State and Clemson, you compete for national championships in football. Like, that is your goal. Maybe Miami, but nobody else in the ACC expects to do that. And if you're Clemson and Florida State, you have to do whatever you can to get on the closer to the Big Ten SEC financial level. So you're going to have to try to get out. It's the only way you can do that. And this is how you would start that process, to see if there's any way you could get out at no charge or a lesser charge or something like that. So, like, none of it is ultimately surprising. The Big Ten and the SEC make the most money because they have the most fans, they have the biggest brands, and they get the best TV ratings. And with the consolidation of the TV market, it's natural that the money was going to consolidate around the conferences that have the most of it. Now, is it fair that Indiana is going to be making more money than Clemson as it relates to television contracts and college football playoff payouts? No, but Indiana and Northwestern just lucked into being in the right conference at the right time 100 years ago, essentially. And so I get why Florida State and Clemson are doing this. I do not know if it's going to work. And that's where we're at.
Chris, you cover a lot of coaching scoops. And, man, I don't know. I was sitting there yesterday at Baylor football practice, and Dave Aranda is waxing poetically about Gary Patterson. And it all just is so strange still to see Gary Patterson on staff at Baylor. But I was thinking of what a cool opportunity that is for defensive players in particular to learn from those two on a near daily basis. How, I know Baylor's not a program that many people are talking about right now, but how intrigued are you from just a coaching standpoint about the Dave Aranda-Gary Patterson partnership?
Yeah, you know, as someone who remembers the Art Briles-Gary Patterson rivalry of not that long ago, it is kind of wild that since Gary Patterson got fired, we've seen him at Texas and now Baylor. And this is kind of the way it goes. You know, loyalty only goes so far, especially when there's a paycheck involved, especially when you got fired somewhere. You know, it's interesting, you know, like, there had to be a staff overhaul at Baylor after things turned so south so fast. And so Dave Aranda did what he had to do. It's so weird how up and down this program has been the last couple of years. I mean, to win the Big 12 a couple of years ago, sandwiched around two bad seasons. I don't know. I don't know what to make of the Dave Aranda tenure, because it's just been a lot of wild swings for a guy who's very, you know, level-headed. He's not an emotional guy, obviously. So it hasn't matched the personality of the coach, and this will be a big year, obviously.
Well, Chris, just to let you know, that Baylor just sent us a press release that they'll be honoring their 2013 and 14 Big 12 championship teams this year at the TCU game, where Gary Patterson is now on the Baylor staff, and Carlton Buckles, Kendall Briles, and
Coscazzotti
are on the TCU staff now. So you want to talk about weird, it's getting weird.
Yeah, and I just saw no mention of Art Briles in that as well. So that is an interesting day to pick for sure.
Yeah, that will be interesting, no doubt about it. What are your thoughts about what's happening with the ACC, with the latest deal, of course, coming with what Clemson's doing? Is how much more or longer will that be before that fractures, if at all?
You know, it's hard to say how long it'll go. It will be a process. You know, Florida State and the ACC have a hearing on Friday. It's just one side is trying to dismiss the other's lawsuit. It's a normal procedural thing. I wouldn't expect it to actually happen. But these things are going to play out, and Clemson and Florida State kind of had to get moving on it because you don't know what the future is going to be. And like I mentioned before, if you feel like financially there is zero chance you can compete with the Big Ten and SEC while in the ACC, then you got to get out. And this is the way to try to start to do that. Is it going to work? I don't know. Like I said as well, ACC you're not going to want to settle. You know, like this isn't like, all right, we'll let you go type of deal, because then you have to worry about North Carolina, Miami, and all these other schools potentially following it, which could blow up the whole conference and in a Pac-12-like situation. So you don't know how long it's going to take. Everybody is very well aware of what happened to the Pac-12. But again, just because you don't like the contract you signed, 10 years ago, doesn't mean you can get out of it. I'm very curious to see how it's going to go.
Chris Venditti, TheAthletic.com. Chris, are you a brackets guy? Do you have 1-5? How much do you dig into that? Because it's kind of the American way.
I need to do that tonight. I honestly haven't even looked at it yet. I was on vacation through Monday, and then I get back Tuesday, and the Clemson lawsuit happens. And so that's kind of taken up all my time. I need to get to that tonight still. There's a lot of high seeds I don't trust. I don't trust Rick Barnes at Tennessee. I don't trust Purdue, so it's like a lot of these teams have historically not done well in their high seeds this year. It could be a very strange tournament.
Chris, thank you very much for your time. As always, great for the connection to talk about Izzo off the top with your history with Michigan State. Chris Venditti, TheAthletic.com, with us on 365 Sports.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.